The life of Gustavus Adolphus. Gustavus Adolphus and Maria Eleonora, their life, part one. The capture of Maria Eleonora has been called Gustav Adolphus's first victory on German soil. Not only that, the whole episode, as it were, a test piece of his statesmanship. Tough consistency of purpose is united to a love of the spontaneous action that attains its goal by reason of its unexpectedness. The traits which are apparent here are among the most fundamental to his character. In one respect, however, the example is not a very happy one. The expected political fruits of the family alliance with the House of the Brandenburg did not, on the whole, materialize. No new or closer relationship was formed between the two countries. The explanation lies partly in the mutual irritation, which was the inevitable result of the methods, rather too reminiscent of abduction, whereby the much-debated marriage was achieved, but this obstacle could have been surmounted in time. The decisive factor in the inherent differences between the policy of Sweden and Brandenburg. Any cooperation with his brother-in-law that Gustavus Adolphus did succeed in effecting was almost always obtained by force. There were times when there seemed to be in directly opposite camps. It was vain for Gustavus Adolphus to promise to protect the inhabitants of Brandenburg and Prussia against Poland or the devil himself. George Wilhelm's attempt to keep on good terms with everybody accorded ill with the King of Sweden's offensive policy. Whether this policy was directed to obtaining the final settlement with Sigismund so necessary to Sweden, or to the hurling back of the Catholic reaction in Germany in the interest of Protestantism as a whole. There were indeed moments when the elector and his advisers were prepared to go a long way to realize the latter objective. But those moments had passed before the Swedes set foot in Germany. It was only force of circumstances that induced Brandenburg to forego the neutrality to which he had painfully clung for so long and range herself on the Swedish side against the Emperor and his allies. Within the inner ring of Jorge Wilhelm's advisors, a conflict of opinions was almost normal, but on the whole, the balance may probably have inclined towards those of Swedish sympathies, which certainly had a strong hold upon the people at large. Now and then it was these sympathies which dictated a decision, but more often other forces and other interests prevailed. Sweden's occupation, the first Polish West Prussia, 1626, and afterwards the Duchy of Pomerania, which figured prominently in the future hopes of the Hohenzollern, did not fail to sow the seeds of distrust between the now related dynasties. To remove this feeling through a settlement to the advantage of both, and at the same time draw closer bonds between them, was the task, and it was both difficult and an urgent task that Gustavus Adolphus set himself. It was still unfinished when, unfortunately, death overtook him. So the fact that Gustavus Adolphus, to borrow his own words, quote, had a Brandenburg lady in his marriage bed, end of quote, had in a sequel no very important political results. Yet the connection was not entirely without significance. It undoubtedly helped to avert the open breach which on more than one occasion seemed imminent, and at moments of triumph it lent a rather more personal character to the official contracts. Of domestic happiness, Gustavus Adolphus was vouchsafed but a meager portion. Maria Eleonora, sentimentally devoted to her husband, was not merely attractive in her external appearance. She was naturally kind-hearted, and she had exceptionally good taste. But her emotional life lacked balance, and anything she undertook on her own initiative was always in need of careful watching. She jealously gradually concentrated upon Gustav Adolf's obligations as a king, and in this matter she often showed herself unreasonable. Though there is something moving in her laments that she never had her hero to herself. She was given to language of unthinking violence, and if we must trust a later hint of Axel Oxenstierna, she didn't spare the person of her royal spouse, even if there were strangers present. Yet he was the only link that bound her to Sweden. She always had difficulty in adapting herself to the people, the countryside, and not the least, the climate. But after Gustavus Adolphus's death, which plunged her into a prolonged crisis of hysteria, she found it more difficult than ever to conceal her dislike of our rocks and mountains, freezing air, and the rest of it in Sweden. So we'll be looking at next few times their life together. And of course, with a king, and particularly in the situation that Gustavus Adolphus finds himself, And of course, the 30 Years' War, there's going to be sparse times between the two of them. But there are some interesting things that will take place. And so we'll be looking at those for the next few weeks. The sources for this are Gustavus Adolphus versus Wallenstein by Pike, Gustav Adolphus, Sweden and the 30 Years' War, 1630-32, by Volk, The Lion of the North by Henty, Gustav Adolphus the Great by Onlund, and Gustav Adolphus and the Rise of Sweden by Roberts, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 1, Infantry, by Brzezinski, Gustav Adolphus's Army, Part 2, Cavalry, by Brzezinski. So I hope you enjoyed that. As always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.